I have with me in the studio a very special guest. Let me give you some background, though. Like, you know, we're kind of in the age of fast fashion at the moment, especially with the pandemic, where all you need to do is jump online and you click something and you get a cheap t-shirt for $10, and you know, you don't really consider the ethical impact of a cute new pair of tribal print shorts or, you know, your t-shirts or whatever. And like, this isn't bad just for the environment, but also for the cultures and the people from which those prints and those ideas and those styles of clothing might be taken and profited off. And, you know, every now and then you do see a scandal about cultural appropriation and all that kind of stuff. But that aside, I have with me in the studio Anna Maria Parada, and she has built a social enterprise that aims to combat this exact issue with her ethical jewelry brand, Mami Wata Collections. It works with indigenous artisans of Colombia and South America in creating jewelry designs that highlight indigenous ancestral craftsmanship. And the reason why I wanted to speak to her is because she's putting on this event in the next month. It's called Connecting Cultures, and she's partnering up with Gunawara Arts as well in it. In the studio, Anna Maria Parada, it's so good to have you. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. It's such a great time to be here on air talking about this really great show we're putting together with Crystal from Gilawar Arts.
Definitely. And I want to hear more about that. But just first of all, how did you get started with your own brand? Like, how did you decide that you wanted to do that?
I always had an interest in jewelry making, and I remember it was around 2014 where I had a very boring office job, and I remember sitting in this dark room in front of the computer wondering if this was all life had for me. You know, and coming from a country like Colombia where it's full of color, full of artisanship and art, and I was like, I just really want to see some more color in the streets in Australia. And you know, one time I went back to Colombia to visit my family, and I noticed there had been a lot of displacement of indigenous artisans around the country, and it happened, it all was connected to what was going on like politically over there with armed groups, with the guerrilla groups displacing people from their lands, and the first victims end up being indigenous people because they're more vulnerable and have less representation there. Like it happens worldwide. So look, I saw a bunch of indigenous artisans like on the streets in Bogota. So they're not from the city. These people had been displaced from the traditional lands, which happened to be a lot further than you know, than the Bogota city. And then, you know, I approached them and I said, you know, I've always admired the beadworks, and I said, I was there with a friend, an ex-lover, ex-partner, and he said, look, I told him, oh, I really can't wait to show you this great beadworks, like, let me come and show you. And then he saw them and he was like, wow, they are incredible. And I said, we were talking, because he was from Australia, and we were both like, imagine if, you know, these, we could bring them to Australia. And we were like, oh my God, yes. So we did this little investment. You know, this family was so happy because we basically bought most of the stuff they had there on the street. You know, and they, you know, they're packed up for the day, they're gone because they sold most of the stuff.
Yeah.
And we're like, great, we're going to bring them here to Sydney. So I remember flying in, I remember posting about it. I posted this photo of this bed full of incredible beadwork. And I'm like, I'm coming back to Sydney with all this beaded jewelry. They come from these indigenous artisans, and I want to share them here. And, you know, and that started, I started doing markets, great support. Everyone was so impressed by these colorful beadwork.
Yeah. And I have seen them as well, you know, cause like that it's not just, you know, jewelry and necklaces, but also, you know, like little pouches and all kinds of different things. And like also just having a look at just the amount of work that goes into beading something. Cause I know that you do workshops and that kind of thing. In beading, but also just very quickly, I want to ask about how you continue maintaining those relationships. Mm. Because, yeah, I know that you work with Indigenous artisans from the Imbarachami.
Yeah, that's the Imbarachami tribe.
Yeah, and the Wayuu tribe of, yes, you know, of Colombia. So, yeah, how do you go about maintaining those relationships and, yeah, you know, kind of matching up your demand and your ideas of what you want to produce and what you want to sell, and also making sure that things are done ethically and sustainably?
Yeah, so that was what I told you was the beginning of it all. Mm. You know, that was 4 years ago, and, you know, it took a fair few times of me running out of jewelry and then ordering more. I kept their contact, we communicate through WhatsApp, and I would be ordering more. And then next thing, it's just becoming a really ongoing thing. I get my family involved. I've always been working with the same family, but, you know, that family is huge. So as I commission them more and more people got involved in you know, making beadworks for my brand. I actually, to this day, still work with the same group of family. It's a huge family. It's like 60 people in one family. But I directly communicate with, it's a couple. Mm. And their names are Luzmila and Anderson. And they're young. They're like they're a little bit younger than me. But they're, you know, a very entrepreneurial couple. Very, very, like, they're really spot on, like, just really, you know, creating business and always sending me new designs. So yep, that was the start. It's been ongoing. It's really been a process of me realizing how Western I was, because actually their language is not even, the first language is not Spanish. They have their native tongue. Mm. I only speak Spanish or English. So in fact, that communication was hard. Mm. It was hard. It was. So it's been a whole process of trust, building trust, them knowing that I'm always, you know, I always pay them up front. They always get to decide what prices, you know, they want to charge for when I commission them. And I've always respected that. And, you know, I'm sure I could be getting them cheaper from other places, but having that direct relationship with his family, to the point where I've gone back to Colombia, they've taken me to the traditional land. So I've traveled with them in remote Colombia, gone up to their country. It's like, it's a reserve. It's an indigenous reserve. So they hold the title there. Mm. Like, it's not the native title land like we have here in Australia, but they still have rights over that piece of land where they're at.
Yep.
So, you know, they've sent me, they've welcomed me there. I've spent time with their family. They've cooked for me. I've cooked for them, you know. Then they taught me how to bead, and I was like, wow.
Oh, wow.
So it really extends to the point where I learned how to bead with them.
Yeah.
I'm become part of the family almost, you know?
That's also really interesting, right? And I will get into this in just a sec with connecting cultures.
Yes.
But I feel as though it's such a different way of, quote, doing business, right? Of having that direct relationship and actually caring about the well-being rather than just what your inventory is and what your stock is and, you know, how your prices and your bottom line. And I do feel as though, because I know people as well who run not similar ventures to yours, but are definitely connecting with, you know, more traditional ways of doing business, of bartering, of creating, of that kind of thing. And definitely the models look totally different to what we're used to in the Western world.
Yeah.
So I guess that's also a process of learning and unlearning, right?
It's a process of, it's a relationship. It's not a transactional thing. I mean, yes, it is, but it's more relational in the way that in the past 4 years, I have really come to know what is the daily life of them, you know, and I have been there when terrible things have happened. There's been lots of stuff going on. So they're being refugees within our own country. Mm. They've been living in very, very rough areas. They've been attacked by other groups. They've had their family members assassinated by police. Oh my God, if I could tell you the amount of things that have happened to them, and I get to hear that and really realize how different the reality is for Indigenous people. Like, I'm also Indigenous, you know, but I don't hold that language. Mm. I am a very Western woman because I grew up in the city. Mm. But, you know, it's just realizing that, and, you know, all of that comes into each product that I sell is like, you know, it's a constant thing. It's not just buy and sell. It's a whole, like, journey. And yeah,
and I guess that brings me on to the collaboration with Kilawara Arts, right? With Crystal Hertz of Kilawara, who also runs a kind of fantastic arts organization, I guess you could, and, you know, is a paramount artist as well out of New South Wales. Tell me about the exciting project that you have going on. It's called Connecting Cultures, and it's about this kind of, you know, ethical Indigenous wearable art. Where did the idea behind that come from?
Yeah, it came about because I met Crystal during market. So we've, you know, as jewelry makers and traders, we are often at markets, have been in the past, because that's the way you get started with the jewelry business. I guess that's how we started. And then I actually remember one time I was helping organize this festival. It's an Indigenous Latin American festival called Pachamama Festival. So because we were friends, I invited her along to trade with her brand and, you know, show our Latin American culture, her beadworks. And, you know, we had live music and she just loved it so much. And, you know, we could tell that we love and respect each other's cultures. And then from then, you know, this year, because I just come back from overseas, and she's seen all my journey with being there and beading and doing all this cultural work. And she was like, you know, welcome back to Sydney. I can't wait for us to do something together. She's run in fashion shows. She lives in Canberra and she's way more experienced in the way of like running shows and workshops. But yeah, she said we should definitely do something like that and exchange our cultures. And I was like, yes.
And highlight the, you know, obviously the cultures aren't similar, but there are so many similar practices within them, right? In terms of, you know, as we were talking about how people trade and how people view quote-unquote business and creating things. Tell me a little bit about that. What have you learned from Crystal and Gilawara, and what, you know, do you think that you guys have been able to exchange?
Yeah, I think I see some really common elements in the way that the pieces that we sell carry stories. And each piece would have a meaning in regards to how the color has been chosen, to what materials, what designs. And it really often has to do with the connection to the land or to the natural environment. So I'm speaking on behalf of the Indigenous artisans who I trade for and with. And in sitting down with the elders and learning more about the meaning behind each beadwork, it's also got to do a lot with their spiritual connection to the land. And so does Crystal. Crystal creates these designs, but they all have references to her natural environment and to her approach to her land, being a Wurundjeri woman from Australia, a native woman.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's one common element, but then there's other things like I feel we are different. We have different cultures, but when we exchange, we become stronger because then we don't feel alone. Mm. We're not alone in this journey. We actually want to support other craft makers. Mm. So this show that we're preparing is actually an opportunity to talk more about why artisanship should be appreciated, why is it important, and why should we move from fast fashion towards purchasing products from people who you know or you can connect with.
Definitely, and prolonging and extending some of those ways of creating, right? Some of those particularly non-Western ways of creating.
Exactly.
that have been around for so long. And so the event, Connecting Cultures, it's going to be a showcase of, I believe, pieces that you and Crystal have both created for the show.
Yeah.
And it's also going to be followed by a panel discussion on this kind of stuff.
Yes. So there will be two parts. First of all, this is a live stream show. So any of you listening at home or in your cars, you can tune in. You don't have to attend in person because it's a live stream and we are putting a great team together to, you know, make the best quality live stream possible. But there will be a fashion show. So Crystal will be creating a range of crafts specifically for this show. I have commissioned my part of the show, so what our models will be wearing for Mami Wata Collections has already been made. It's on its way from Colombia. I have sent a big commission to artists there with a concept, and it's on its way here. So I haven't made those particular pieces myself. Mm-hmm. It actually is all about, hey, Australia, this is the Imbera Chami artworks. They happen to have come across all the way from all the way from Colombia, and now they're here, and we'll get to be modeled. They'll be modeled on Latin American women and also Indigenous Australian women. And then that's the first part. So there will be a runway show. And then after that, we'll have a panel discussion where we have an incredible guest, Travis De Vries, and he is also a First Nations man from Australia, very, very renowned.
He's the artist, right?
He's an artist, and yeah, he will be moderating the discussion, and also because he is an artist, he also understands a lot about what goes to make something from,
So how can people get involved in your event? What can they look up, or how does it work? How can people, be there?
Yeah, so you can get yourself a ticket. It's $35. The ticket is available on Eventbrite. If you search Connecting Cultures, Indigenous fashion show, it will come up. And then also 30% of that ticket, it will go towards the cause of reducing black deaths in custody in Australia.
Right.
Yes.
Great. And so just kind of Google it, Connecting Cultures.
Yeah, so that is a good way. Google can find anything. But if you follow our brands, Gilawara Arts, it's on Instagram, and my brand is Mami Wata Collections as well on Instagram. And we've got our links there on that website. Otherwise, also definitely head to the program of the Sydney Craft Week because, this is part of the Sydney Craft Week Festival organized by the Australian Design Centre. And there's a great program of great events run by craft makers. I've met them on Monday. We had a photo shoot at the town hall and I met all these really incredible craft makers, and each of them is running an event. I guess the place to go could be the Australian Design Centre website.
Excellent.
And they will go, it's all in there, the information of the program.
Cool. Well, Anna, thank you so much for having a chat about Connecting Cultures. It's been really interesting.
Thank you so much. Thank you.